Second Chronicles chapter 1. And Solomon the son of David was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly. How many want to be magnified by the hand of God? Amen. That's a wonderful place to be. Amen. I've had people come and say what you've said was a blessing, or just to see you and your spirit has been a blessing unto me. That's exciting. And I can tell you right now that it's not because I'm such a blessed person or because I'm such a great person. My wife could probably get up here and tell you all the different story than that. But I can tell you right now, when you are blessed by God, he can magnify you exceedingly. Amen. Nothing is good. Nothing in itself. But amen, when we're magnified by the power of God, he can magnify us exceedingly. Amen. And bless us. Then Solomon spake unto all Israel, to the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and to the judges, to every governor in all Israel, the chief of the fathers. So Solomon and all the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon. For there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God had David brought up from Kirjath-Jearim to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. Moreover, the brazen altar that Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sought it. They went to find this place that had been built. They went, they made a journey, they made an absolute effort to get to the house of the Lord. They made an effort to go back to the place where the Spirit of God resided. You hear me? They made an effort to go back. They made an effort to move themselves. It was not an easy situation. But let me tell you one more time that if we're going to see the hand of God in this day and this age, we're going to have to make an effort, Brother Ron, to go back. We're going to have to make an effort as Christians that we move ourselves and get into the place where God has blessed. Go back to that place. The Bible says not to remove the ancient landmarks, but to go back to them and seek them and find a place where God can touch us again. There's been many times in my life when I hit a cold spot, when I hit a rough place in my life, and I had to mentally, sometimes I had to physically get up and go back to that spot. I've heard of some of you in the past years getting in your car and driving in some other time other than camp, driving all the way back up that hill to Bethel in the Hills and going into a cold, dark chapel, not because that place is how, but because that's a place where God had touched and God had ministered in their life, and they knew that if they could just get back, they could let God know that they meant business and feel his touch again. I want to tell you that God wants to touch his people again, but we're going to have to make an effort. Amen. God wants to touch. I'm preaching tonight on sacrifice. That's a joyful subject, isn't it? Amen. That's that, you know, you sing the sacrifice songs. That's when everybody wants to jump up and shout, right? You hear the sacrifice messages, and that's when everybody wants to jump up and shout. But let me tell you tonight that if you want to get back in the place of God, with God, where your soul is happy and when your soul is free and where there's a joy back in the depths of your soul and you can feel the joy of your salvation restored in your heart and life, you're going to first have to go back and sacrifice. Hallelujah. Chapter 6, and Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. Verse 6, 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. 1,000 burnt offerings is not a small amount. You think about that for a moment. I don't know how long it takes to offer one burnt offering. 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. To prepare it, to put it on the altar, to make sure that God is pleased with what you're doing. Not only is this a time-consuming situation, but this is a situation where somebody who has means is putting their means on the altar. 1,000 head of whatever it was that he sacrificed. It was not a small task. This was not just a small sacrifice. This was giving all. Now, sacrifice today is something that is not heard of in the house of the Lord anymore. Of course, we live under grace today, so we don't have to offer burnt sacrifices. But I want to tell you, in the house of the Lord, in the church world in America, we're not taught to sacrifice anymore. We're taught that our best life is now. We're taught that we can prosper if we want to. We're taught that we can reach out and claim it. I heard a preacher preaching, and they were walking down the street, him and his wife doing their morning jog and exercise. And you know, we sacrifice our physical a lot of times because we want everything to be just right. But when it comes to the things of God, we put it to the back burner, and we don't spend the time and the energy and the effort to make sure that we're pleasing an almighty God. God still requires and demands a sacrifice tonight. They were walking down the street, and they saw a beautiful house, a mansion. And she said, oh, I just wish I could have one. And he said, you can, because you serve God. That's what God wants for you. And they stopped, and they clasped hands, and they prayed for a house that was just like that one. And they prayed for the size, the square footage. And they prayed for the color of the shutters. And they prayed for the length of the driveway. And they prayed for the color of trees. Well, I'll tell you what, that doesn't matter to God tonight. He's not really that concerned where you live, but he's concerned that you're sacrificing from a heart of worship. He's concerned that you're a sacrifice of praise in your heart and in your life, and that everything you have is His tonight. We're not taught to sacrifice in the house of the Lord. We're not taught that sacrifice means everything. But Solomon realized, let me preach to you tonight, that we can sacrifice and move the hand of God. I don't know that I've ever lived or ever heard of a time in the history of mankind that it's any worse, where you hear people who've sat on the pew all their lives are going through things and troubles and turmoils that are pushing them and battering and beating their minds, and they're being driven. I sat by the chair side of a young man this week, Brother Kevin, and he said, I just wish I could die. I just wish that I could just rest in peace. I wish that I could end it all. I wish this was the last breath that I ever had to take. I'm talking about a young man who once knew the power of the Holy Ghost, a young man who once had been called out of sin, but yet he was so driven and in such turmoil in his mind, he was wishing to be dead. I'll tell you what, we need to go back and find a place where God can touch us once again and begin to make our lives a living sacrifice so that he can be pleased with us. I don't know if you know it tonight, but the hand of God is all powerful. I don't know if you still understand or not, but the hand of God is still able to reach as far as we need him to reach. Amen. There's still not a disease on the face of this earth that the hand of God cannot touch. But sometimes we're going to have to decide to go back and sacrifice so we can move the hand of God. Christians taking pills. Christians going and trying to find something that will ease their mind. Christians that are going and trying to find some kind of antidepressant that will make them be able to cope with their lives. I'll tell you what, we don't need antidepressants to cope with what we are the called out children of the blood-bought Lamb of God, and we ought to be above that tonight. We ought to be walking around with our head held high, and we ought to be the absolute light of the world. But we stop short on sacrifice. Solomon had great riches. He had been magnified by God. But I'll tell you right now, 1,000 sacrifices was a sacrifice to him. You hear me? 1,000 sacrifices was not something that didn't matter. 100 sacrifices is a lot of sacrifices. But 1,000 sacrifices, let me tell you what, if you want to move the hand of God, if you truly want peace and joy and the restoration process to be full circle in your life, you're going to have to sacrifice everything. Everything. Solomon went above and beyond. Solomon went above and beyond. He had to sacrifice everything he had. We want to be blessed by God. God bless me. Let me tell you what, there's no blessing without sacrifice. There's no blessing without sacrifice. He had to go above and beyond. Listen, in verse 7, in that night, this is after the 1,000 sacrifices. No doubt there were people in the ranks saying, my goodness, isn't that a little, well, I shouldn't say overkill. Pardon the pun. Isn't that a little much? Isn't that a little far out, Solomon? Couldn't you have just had us all bring one? Or couldn't you have just done one and prayed a little longer? Couldn't you have just built a little bit bigger of an altar so that it didn't take so long? Let me tell you what, the world's looking at us tonight and they're saying, why, oh why, oh why do those people live like that? And if we're not careful, we won't sacrifice what we need to sacrifice. And it just looks like a bunch of noise and a bunch of racket. But I'll tell you what, when we get in the place with God where we're really giving everything we are and we're really living our lives as a living sacrifice and we're pleasing to the heart and to the nostrils of God, He's going to bless us, and no longer will it be questions, but they'll say, tell us what you've got. Share with us what it is that you've got. We've got to have peace in our lives. I've said it once. I've said it twice. This building is not what's going to save people. I enjoy it. I sat right here tonight while Brother Spencer was talking, and I could feel the blowing of some kind of an air conditioner somewhere. I don't know where it was coming from, but I was enjoying it. Hallelujah. I was enjoying every second of it. But that's not going to bring anybody. Listen, just because we've gotten thus far by faith, just because God's blessed us this much, that's not enough, young men. That's not enough, young ladies. Just because we invite them and they come, we're going to have to live in a place of sacrifice where we see the hand of God moved. The three Hebrew children sat down in the king's palace in a strange country. That's a bittersweet situation right there. They were in the king's palace, but they were far from home. They'd been taken from their homes. And here comes the chef of the king and the king's meat. And they said, we'll not be defiled with a portion. Let me tell you a secret. That was sacrifice. You say, oh, well, they were used to naughty. It doesn't matter. They were in the king's palace, and they knew that it could have just as easily been off with your head. It could have just as easily been, you guys are in trouble. We're going to take you to the auction block. We're going to take you out and hang you. We're going to stone you. It didn't matter. There was a lot of different situations and ways that could have gone, but I'm preaching to you tonight about sacrifice. And they said, oh, king, we will not defile ourselves with a portion of the king's meat. And everybody looked at them and laughed, and they said, there's no way it'll ever work out. But they held true to what they had been told and what they have been taught. Let me tell you what, we can't afford to look to the right and we can't afford to look to the left. We're going to have to stay in a position where we know that everything has to be sacrificed before God. You need to listen tonight. Some of you are in deep situations tonight. Some of you are needing a touch from God. Some of you are needing help in your family situations. I'm preaching tonight that sacrifice will move the hand of God. It wasn't too far down the road where they found themselves in a situation where they had to sacrifice again. They said, everybody bows. They weren't swayed that day because they hadn't defiled themselves at the dinner table. Some of you are so wishy-washy, you get out in front of people and you start looking like the world and dressing like the world. I'll tell you what, He still said, come out from among them and be ye separate, thus saith the Lord. Amen. I believe it tonight more than I've ever believed it in all my life, that we ought to look different and we ought to act different and we ought to dress different, because we're going to have to be the light. Amen. The city on the hill cannot be hid, but if you go hide the candle under a bushel, you'll not see anything. The greater the darkness, the greater we need some light. The greater the darkness, the more we need light. This world needs light. I sat at the lunch table today, and there was people behind me, but I would have never known until I began to hear the words, Jesus and the Lord and my heart and salvation. And I was enjoying their conversation, but as I left, there would have been no way to identify them. There would have been no way to know. What a sad situation. I guarantee you that everybody at Chili's today, when I walked out, said, those people have just been to church. Those people are living right. Those people are doing something different. Oh, Brother Chuck, you're preaching on the clothesline. No, I'm preaching on the sacrifice. You think it's easy for our ladies to look the way they do? No, sir, it's not easy, but it's a sacrifice, and it's something that will move the hand of God. There's never been an outpouring of God's revival on some catwalk and runway where they're showing off their bodies and their flesh. You hear me? It hasn't ever happened. There's never been a man of God start a great awakening because he was worried about how he looked. I stood in a shopping mall there in Dallas, Texas this year, and watched about 10 guys of my age, maybe a little bit younger, getting their eyebrows, whatever they call it, threaded. bunch of sissified fruitcakes is what they look like to me. That's my opinion. You can call it what you want. I wouldn't have laid down there in the middle of that place with people walking around worrying about what my eyebrows look like. You know what? I think you ought to wash your face, and I think that you ought to use a comb every once in a while, deodorant every day. But I'll tell you what, we need to get more concerned with living for God. I'm so worried about this world. You worry about the homosexuality. We worry about the perversion, yet we run down and we primp and we prod, and that's what leads to that kind of mess. It's time that us as the true church of Jesus Christ will stand up and just be what we are and let Him lead us and begin to move His hand. I believe it makes God sick. You read it. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. He's so sick of Christians that are so warmed up to the world, you can't tell any difference. There's no separation. He's not going to move. He's not going to step out in our behalf. Our children aren't going to be saved. We're going to lose everything we've got. Hallelujah. It's sacrifice. Listen, I can go out and you know how it is. I can join in a lot easier. My wife feels the pressure. We get in the car, she says, oh. I said, honey, you look in those back seats at those three children we've got. Hallelujah. Some of you aren't understanding, but I'm telling you tonight that we can move the hand of God. I say, you look in the back seat at those three children, and there will be a day when we get a call from where we just left, and they'll say, could you pray? Could you do something? Could you intercede on our behalf? Could you come deal with our kids? Could you come and talk to them? I'll tell you what, I'd rather sacrifice today and see the hand of God move, because I know He's looking to move. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit, but He's going to do it on those that are sacrificing. Three Hebrew children said, oh, we're not even cautious. We're not even cautious how we answer you. We're not bowing. And it made him mad. He said, heat the furnace 7 times hotter. And I think they smiled just like Brother Steve just did. Well, that sounds bad, but I'll be all right. Because the God I serve, the very same God that caused me to be fairer and fatter after I ate the pulse and drank the water and I pushed aside the king's meat and I pushed aside the king's wine, He's going to take care of me and everything's going to be quite all right. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I think they were just as hungry for heaven as we are today. And I think they thought in the back of their mind, if we perish, we're going to be with God anyway. Little did they know they were fixing to rub elbows with the Son of God. Little did they know they were fixing to walk through the fire and not even be touched, not even be warmed up, not even be hot to the touch, not even one hair be singed. And better than that, they were going to get to walk and talk with the Son of God. Amen. I'm telling you, sacrifice can move the hand of God. Hallelujah. There's never been a result without sacrifice. Never been a result without sacrifice. You hear me tonight. From the football field to the artist table, drawing board, basketball field, court, baseball, any sports activity, any singer that graces a stage, there's been hours, there's been time spent in sacrifice. Michael Jackson, who they've made a great deal over, sacrificed a normal life. I don't know the man, never met him. I'd love to hear him preach tonight. If he was on the stage, he wouldn't dance and he wouldn't moonwalk. You hear me? If he had a chance to speak to the 1.6 million people who signed up to be, he wouldn't even start to sing any songs that would make them jump up and down in their chairs. He would say, you sit down and you listen to me and you realize that there's something greater. Don't sacrifice your life on the altar of the world, but you better get your heart right with Jesus Christ, because hell is real. And he wouldn't say it calm and he wouldn't say it quiet. That's all I could think about within minutes of hearing that he died. I thought, my God. It doesn't matter how expensive the box they put him in is. He sacrificed. Sacrifice in the military field. I mentioned to my kids in my Sunday school class, one of the greatest times in my life was when I went to a funeral of my wife's cousin who was killed in Iraq. Never had met the man in my life. Never been more proud. Never in my life have I been more proud of a young man who was willing to sacrifice. I've been thankful. I heard yesterday, we went to the tea party, I heard some people talk, and they talked about the signers of the Declaration of Independence, how they lost their fortune. They lost everything they had. Many of them, a couple of them were hanged. Some of them lost their sons in the war. Some of their homes were burned out. Some of them died as paupers. Amen. But they sacrificed, Brother Troy, so that we can have this beautiful place tonight, that we can live in the freedom of America. I'm so thankful for their sacrifice. But listen, I'm telling you, there's a greater sacrifice that not only builds nations, it not only restores people to a right, a place of living, and gives them a place to survive and live in religious freedom, but there's a sacrifice that will break the bonds of sin and change the lives and souls of men and put them on a road to heaven. We've got to sacrifice till we see the hand of God moved. Hallelujah. Sacrifice of a few men a couple years ago. As they found out, after it was altogether too late, that they were sitting on an airplane that was bound for somewhere and not for good reason. Hallelujah. You hear me? These men that found out altogether too late. And they had enough time, some of them, to call their wives and say, honey, we don't know what's going to happen. I love you. I love the kids. I don't know if we'll ever make it home. We're going to do something. Stay on the phone, honey, and lay a phone down in the seat of an airplane. And they could hear them say, all right, let's roll. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've never heard any sweeter words in my life. I begin to think about those men who knew that they might be given it all, Brother Kyle, but they were willing to do whatever they were going to sacrifice to move the hand of their situation. I'll tell you what, if we would just get hungry to see the hand of an almighty God who's all powerful, who can do anything, who can break any bond, who can change any direction of any life, if we would just get hungry to sacrifice for him. Let's roll. And they went in and they did whatever they had to do, Brother Kevin. Wasn't a beautiful sight, the smoke billowing out of that Pennsylvania field. But I'll tell you what, they saved lives that day. They were heroes that day. Hallelujah. I don't know if they were Christians. I trust they were, because I hope one day to have a chance to put my arms around them and say thank you. Hallelujah. I don't know. There were a lot of people that sacrificed that day. But for a man to willingly say, honey, I love you. Listen to this on the phone. We're going to make it happen. Whatever's got to happen. I'll tell you what. It's time we go to the place. We do what Solomon did and shake ourselves and stand up and say, I'm going to go back where the Spirit resides. I'm going to go back where I felt the touch of God when I was a young child, because I know the hand of God can change my situation. And that night God did appear unto Solomon in verse 7 and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Not a better question from God you'll ever hear. There have been situations in my life, and I've heard preaching all my life, that said God can do anything. If we agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done. But I'm just going to be real honest with you. I've agreed over some things and saw it happen. And then I've agreed over some things and it seemed like the heavens were still. Oh, but when God says to you, ask. God did appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. Without sacrifice, there's no blessing. Without sacrifice, there'll be no victory. Without sacrifice, you wouldn't have salvation tonight. Solomon began to ask. Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over all the people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For whom can judge this thy people that is so great? Let me tell you a secret. When you've sacrificed all, your motives will not be selfish. That's the world we live in. It's a selfish world. That's the world we live in, a selfish world. 36-year-old man, multi-millionaire, heard the applaud of thousands, millions, as he threw a football. Yet he's selfish enough to leave his wife and four young boys, and end up in the apartment with a 20-year-old young lady. And the headline reads that his wife is in desperate, frantic mode. She doesn't know how to handle. Well, I guess not. Why? Because a man was selfish. A man who had everything. They find him with a head, his body riddled with bullet holes, one through his head. The same for her. Why? Because we're selfish. Oh, God, help me. Some of you haven't given in the offerings. Now, this is for Riverdale Assembly of God. And I'm just going to mention to you. Sacrifice works all the way around. And you need to give to God. You need to obey God. You need to give of your time. Because you'll not move the hand of God if you hold on to what is not yours. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Amen. You hang on to that money like it's yours, like you made it, and you forget that God has got you on loan and God is blessing you. And if it wasn't for the hand of God, you wouldn't have the breath you have to breathe right now. And you owe more to him and you owe sacrificially to him. Solomon didn't say, God, bless me with 10,000s of 1,000s more of what I sacrificed. He didn't say, God, bless me with the finest riches. Bless me with the most beautiful palace. Just, God, give me wisdom on how to rule these people. Give me wisdom. Some of you here tonight need to say, God, take me back. Take me back to just simple, the joy of my salvation. We've clouded ourselves with so much religious nonsense. We've clouded ourselves and shrouded ourselves with so much religious thinking. Brother Steve, all we need is the old rugged cross. And we need to go back to that point and say, God, I just need you to take me. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And if you haven't sacrificed your life, the Bible says, the song says, make my life a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which comes from the scripture, holy and acceptable to you. Take my life a living sacrifice, knowing it's the least that I can do. How about it tonight? Are you living selfishly, lavishing on yourselves, asking God to help you, to bless you? There'll be no blessings without sacrifice. God granted Solomon wisdom. And we know that he is touted as being the wisest man that ever lived. In Psalms, it says, behold how Solomon was so fair and beautifully dressed and had all that he needed. God blessed him above any king that had ever been. In fact, if you go on and read, God says, I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you favor. And above and beyond that, I'm going to bless you far beyond any king that's ever been. Your kingdom will be more beautiful and more fair and richer than any other kingdom. And he built a beautiful house to the Lord. And all those things were because of his sacrifice. Amen. I feel the Spirit of God here tonight. When I walked in, I knew that I had the message. You're here tonight and you're struggling in your mind. You're struggling in your heart. You're struggling in your body. We've got to sacrifice. That very thing that we hate to do. The very thing. See, in order for something to be sacrificed, it must die. It must die. It's easy to give a little bit to God. You know, we always say, well, this kind comes by fasting and praying. The act of fasting isn't really that joyous. And I've never fasted till I thought I was going to die. I might have said it, but I didn't mean it. Was it true? But I'll tell you what, something happens when you begin to deny yourself. Something happens when you begin to step back and say, I won't. Amen. Some of you have issues in your life. Some of you have dire situations in your life. Some of you have loved ones that are on the brink of hell tonight. You better be ready to sacrifice. You better not think so high of yourself that says, oh, these parts of my life are all right. You better get in the book, Sister Pine, just like you did when you first came to God and said, is this all true? Is this all right? And told your husband, I got to lock myself away and find out if it's right. Find out for myself. Some of you need to get alone with God and let him put it in your heart. Some of you could read the Bible itself verbatim, word for word, and it would convict your soul. Things that you've okayed in your life that are not right and not pleasing to the Almighty God. I want to move the hand of God tonight. Hallelujah. I want to move the hand of God. We could talk about Elijah when he went on the Mount Carmel. And he said, whichever God answers by fire. Amen. And the prophets of Baal prayed all day. And finally, he shut them up. And he built his altar. And he doused it with water. Which is not what you do when you want fire. But he did what God told him to do. And the fire fell. And the hand of God was moved, and rain that hadn't fallen in more than 3 years, it began to rain, and they had a flood that evening. Why? Because it was moving the hand of God. Amen. How about it? Is your life a living sacrifice tonight? Are you holding on to things, those pleasures of the world, those things that make you comfortable, those things that are your security? Have you given them up? Have you walked away? Have you said, I won't go back? I've had to cut myself off of things even in the last few weeks. I've got to do it. I've got to do it because I want to move the hand of God. With every head bowed in this place, Brother Jim, as you come to the piano. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I feel anything tonight, I can feel the Spirit of God saying, there are incredible needs in the house tonight. Hallelujah. There are incredible needs in the house tonight. There's some of you that need a touch from God like you haven't had in a long time. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to go back and find that place in order to move the hand of God.